This sermon is brought to you by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV to download and share.
Thank you, JP. Was that good? You guys, worship? Isn't that amazing? Amazing to be touched by the Lord's presence. And you know, I think it's always important for us to celebrate a little bit. And even in your personal life, you know, if you get just this much breakthrough, if you can celebrate this much, God can give more. It's the way of the kingdom, right? If we are faithful over a little bit, God gives us more. Amen? I don't actually know what to do now. It's when we had worship like this, it's just amazing. You can open up your Bibles in Matthew 16, and let's see. And I want to encourage you guys, this morning, listen to what the Holy Spirit is wanting to say to you, okay? Not a man, listen to what he wants to say to you. He wants to say something, and I sense he wants to stir something, and he wants to deposit something. And many times we wonder, how do we receive that? And actually, all we need to do is just to pitch. And he comes and he does something inside of you, you know. And I wanna also encourage some of you guys with the dancing this morning. Like, yes, if you would have known me 10 years back, like even sitting in front of the church will be like a big no-no. But who of you know that revival starts in the front row? It doesn't stand in the Bible. It's just a joke. Some of you will catch it later. We always say, Christian always says it in our leadership meetings. He says, if the Lord can use palookas like us, he can use anybody. And you know, God is not looking for qualifications and stuff like that. He's looking for willing people, willing hearts. I love what Daniel Kalenda says. He says, when we come to church, when we enter the Lord's presence, the Lord never, never ever sends anybody home empty. Except those who come full of themselves. And the emptying of self is the way we get filled with Him, right? It is the laying down of who you are and your plans and what you want to do, and you will stand amazed what the Lord does in our lives and through our lives. So it's so good to be with you. I want to share a little bit about God's kingdom and God's will with you this morning. And I hope that it will help you in a certain sense. I think one of the biggest questions that believers always have, I don't know if you have them, but who of you know what is God's will for your life? Okay, one person. No, thank you, Jesus. You came to a good service then this morning, okay. But that's a big question on all of our hearts. What is God's will for my life? It's something we ponder on. It's something we think about. Quite often, and it's a very good question to ask. It's a very good question to seek the answer for. And I want to add something to you finding out what's God's will for your life and what is your calling. And that is, when we find out what we are called to do, you've only come halfway. Then you need to find out who's the people I must do it with. In an individualistic culture that we grow, in a Western culture that we grow up, it's everybody makes it about their calling. I'm telling you, it's not about your calling. It's about the calling of the church. It's about the mission of Jesus Christ. When he writes in the scriptures and he says, you are the temple of the Lord, who of you know he's writing to a congregation? We make it an individualistic thing. I am, and you are. Right? I like one of our elders always says, you are unique, just like the other 7 billion people on earth. But he talks to us, not on an island, but us coming together. And it is in our togetherness that we find purpose, when we find life, where we find meaning, where we find God's will for our life. It is in our coming together. So I want to touch on a few of these things, because I think when it comes to God's will, we love to make it about where I should live, what job I should do, and who should I marry, okay? That's like the big things that we think about, and we think if we've got that down, I'm in God's will. But you can have that down and not be in God's will, Will you know that? Okay? And I just sense there's so much more to God's will than just answering those three questions. Okay, so we're going to go into that a little bit. Is that okay? Okay, we're going to lock the doors, and I think I've got till, what did you say? 12:30. Two. Thank you. So I want to ask you, let's pray together, and let's just ask the Holy Spirit to awaken our hearts to the will of Christ and the kingdom of Christ. Okay, and then we're going to get into it. Lord, thank you that you are here. Thank you that you are for us. Father, thank you that you desire for us to know what is your will. That you desire us to know. That you came to make the Father known, Lord. So, Father, we want to thank you, Holy Spirit, that you are here as the Spirit of revelation and the knowledge of Jesus Christ. And we want to pray, open our hearts, open our minds, in Jesus' name. Amen. Are you guys at Matthew 16? Okay, let's. I don't know. Let's go to verse 17. And I just want to quickly share a few thoughts with you concerning this, and something just in my own life that has been growing, and as we seek Jesus and as we seek his presence and his manifest presence in our midst. It says in verse 17, Jesus replied, this is where Peter confesses that Jesus is the Christ. And Jesus says to Peter, blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by a man. Who of you know that if you say Jesus is the Son of God, the Father has revealed that to you. No man has revealed that to you. You cannot say Jesus is the Son of God and the Christ without the Father revealing that to your heart. Okay? Isn't that assuring? Right? But by my Father, he revealed it. For this was not revealed to you by man, but by my Father in heaven. And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church. Now, Peter isn't the rock that the church is built on. Who of you know that? Peter is a stone of the church, right? Jesus Christ is the cornerstone, right? He was actually, Peter's name is Petros. It means pebble. So Jesus was essentially saying to Peter, listen, Peter, you are a pebble. But on this rock, who is Christ, I will build my church, right? And the gates of Hades will not overcome it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Do you guys know that we don't build the church? Your calling is not to build the church, right? Jesus builds his church, right? He says, I will build my church. Jesus builds his church. Okay, but where do we come into the picture? Then he says, we receive something. What do we receive? Keys. Of what? The kingdom. Okay? We receive keys of the kingdom. Now, who of you know the kingdom cannot be built? Nothing can be added to the kingdom or taken away. The kingdom is established by the king, who is Jesus Christ. We don't build the kingdom. He builds the church through us establishing the kingdom. And using essentially the keys that we have received of the kingdom. Amen? Isaiah prophesies in Isaiah 22, verse 22, about Jesus. And he says, that he will receive the keys. The government of heaven will be on his shoulders. And he will receive keys. And whatever he opens, no man will shut. And whatever he shuts, no man will open. Right? Okay? Now, what did Jesus open? Just like a practical, like he tore the veil, right? From top to bottom. What did he open? The heavens was rendered, right? He opened up the way to the Father again. Amen? He opened up the way to the Father. Now, Scripture says that we are a priesthood of believers. Amen? We are the priests. Now, in the olden days, it was the priest's job. They had the keys to the tabernacle. They literally opened the doors of the temple for the people to come in and come into the presence of God. They had the keys of opening the doors and letting the people in to the presence of the Lord. Now, isn't this amazing that we as a priesthood of believers received the keys of the kingdom
to open what Christ has opened, and we can open that doors boldly. He has opened up the doors for any person to come to Jesus Christ and to repent and turn and come into the kingdom and be born again. We received those kingdoms, that we are literally those called to open up the doors so that the rest can come in. Who of you know that we are called to reconciliation? We have received a ministry of reconciliation. Amen? Reconciling the world to the Father. We literally have the keys in our hands. I want to say something else to you guys. Who of you know that you are in full-time ministry? I love what Chris Vallotton says. He says, if you follow Jesus, you are in the ministry. You might suck at it, but you are in it. You cannot follow Jesus and not be in the ministry. Where's your ministry field? Your ministry field is in your work. Some of you guys are mechanics, teachers, engineers, whatever it might be. That is your ministry field. That is where you are called to go with the keys to unlock. And what Jesus has unlocked, no man can shut. And what he has shut, no man can open. Now, keys is something to do with authority. And you know, Jesus said, all authority has been given to me. And then he gives it to us and he says, then go. We sit with the keys. We sit. It's an amazing thing to think about it. We sit in our hands. You sit with the key that will unlock the presence of the Lord in your workplace. You sit with that key. Okay. Are you guys all right with knowing that you're in full-time ministry? JP, that's a pleasure. I just want to say that's a pleasure. We are in ministry, every one of us. You know, we made it about somebody that's been getting a salary from church and he's in full-time ministry and the rest of us, we're not. But if I read the Bible, I see that the saints do the work of the ministry. And who's the saints? That's us. That's all of us. We're called to do the work of the ministry. Called to unlock the kingdom of the Lord over the lives of other people. And you know, it happens in small things. I remember coming, when we came up here, we stopped at a Wimpy to buy coffee, very reluctantly, because Wimpy coffee always burns my tongue. And there was a lady that came behind me, and she put in an order, and she ran to the bathroom, and I just had a sense in my heart, I must pay for her whatever she bought, okay? And I gave my card, said, listen, I want to pay for this lady, whatever she got, I don't know. But sit on there. And she came back and she was like a bit baffled. And she turned around and asked me, why did I do that? And I said to her, well, Jesus has bountifully given me, so it's just my pleasure to give away. Just sense the Lord wanted to bless you. And this lady started to cry. And she said her husband died a month ago. Her husband passed away and she felt like God has left her totally. And this was just a sign that he didn't leave her, that he still sees her and knows her. Small things, you know. We want the big things, and the big things are great. But the small things, they're significant, right? The small stuff that we do. So, we have received these keys of the kingdom. And they are precious. And God has given it to us to use it. Now, this might be a bit of a mind shift for some of us. You know, Jesus' first sermon was, repent for the kingdom of heaven is at hand, right? That was like a 10-second sermon, and I think the best one ever, right? Repent for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Repentance means that we must change the way we think. So Jesus was telling us, change the way you think, because the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Some of us need to change the way that we think and accept the fact that we are in full-time ministry today. Amen? Must change the way that we think. For the kingdom, something has come that brings change in our lives. We are called to that change. Now, you can remember that Jesus said to his disciples, seek first the kingdom of God and all his righteousness, and all things will be added unto you. Now, why did he emphasize the seeking, and why should we seek? We should seek for this reason, because when Adam and Eve, before the fall, Adam and Eve was in the perfect will of God, right? The will of God was here and the will of man was here. When sin entered the world, what essentially happened is the will of God, the will of man was elevated above the will of God. Amen? And from that day, we all live in a tension between our own will and the will of the Father. And who of you have come to know that your will, your desires, the things that you want to do, it has a way of blinding us to the will of God, right? And he calls his disciples, he says, listen, continually be absorbed with this mission of seeking what is my kingdom, what is my will, my righteousness. It is giving yourself and putting effort into obtaining to know what is the will of God and what is his kingdom, what is his righteousness that he calls us to. So he calls us all to seek this, and this is important that we continue seeking it. How do we seek? Well, you pray. Right? You pray, you read scripture, you devote yourself to fellowship, right? You break bread, you do all the things that you know scripture has revealed for us to do, and the Lord will answer. You know, many times people go and pray, and praying for us is many times just asking. But he says, whoever asks will receive. Amen? Whoever knocks, the door will be opened. Okay, so there's a flip side to the coin of prayer, and that is getting an answer to your prayer. Okay? And to keep knocking until you get the door is open, or to continue asking until the Lord answers. All right? So we are called to this thing of seeking the kingdom in a constant way. Now, I think when we seek the kingdom, we find God's will. Okay? So I want to answer your question. If you have the question, who should I marry? Where should I live? What job should I be doing? I want to give you this answer. The answer, scriptural answer is seek the kingdom. Seek the kingdom first and all else will be given to you. Okay? Does that make sense to you guys? Are you with me? Okay? Who of you have come to know that in the kingdom you can't directly pursue certain things? It's like freedom. Freedom can't be directly pursued. We pursue truth, and the truth sets us free. Does that make sense? We want to bypass the truth and just get the freedom because we like the sensation of feeling free. But a feeling will never set you free. The truth will set you free. It's an upside down kingdom. Does that make sense to you guys? Right? If you want promotion, where should you go? If you want to move up in the world, you must go down. Right? In the kingdom, the way up is down. There's a way in the kingdom that I just sense the Lord is wanting to reveal in this house, to be a light of the kingdom in this town. So what is the kingdom? When we seek it, what is the kingdom? What will we find? We will find the rulership of Jesus Christ. He's the king, and the king has a kingdom. It is the place where his dominion come in when we worship. You know, and we can set out a program for the morning, but we've come to know that he's the great shepherd, and ultimately he decides what will happen in the morning, and we go along with his plans. And why do we go along with his plans? Because he's not only our Savior, but he's our Lord. We want a Savior, but we don't want to bow our knees to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Meaning that you have saved me now, and now I belong to you. I give up my will for your will. Does that make sense? Right? So we find the rulership of Jesus Christ. We find his righteousness. We find truth. And that truth ultimately sets us free at the end of the day. Now, I want to put in a word of caution here that we do not seek the kingdom for what it has to give me and what it has to offer me. I seek it because I love Jesus. He's my king, and I want to see his kingdom advancing, you know? And guys, I want to encourage you guys also to seek, as we seek the Holy Spirit, you know, we can do nice things. In South Africa now, the freedom of religion thing has been pushed through all the schools, so you're not allowed to say you have Christian ethos or, you know, Christian values. But who of you know you can have values of Christ without Christ, and that is powerless still. We can't have the values of Jesus Christ and the ethos of Christ without having Christ. It is not the ethos that will change us. It is our Savior and our Lord that will change us. It is the person of Christ at the end of the day. When He steps into the room, when the King steps into the room, the kingdom comes, right? And who of you know that in His presence, that's why it says His presence is fullness of joy. Where's the kingdom? It's in the Holy Spirit. Righteousness, joy, and peace. It is within Him. It is anchored within Him. It's not anchored in your circumstances. It's not anchored in your circumstances. And I want to encourage some of you. You know, the devil many times plays us like a puppet. When our circumstances change, we change. It is like, say for instance, Christian is ugly to me and I'm ugly back to him. What is essentially happening is Christian is in control of me because he determines my reaction to what he, it is based on what he's going to do. You know, and we can go through life always being afraid what is going to happen, what is somebody going to say or do, because that is going to make me freak out or make me give a reaction to what, you know, to whatever they do. But ultimately, what we are doing is we're saying that they and somebody else, a person or a circumstance, is in control of me. And whenever that happens, you are a slave. What the Lord is wanting of us, not to react to circumstances, but to respond to Him. In a kingdom mentality, you know, when you are, I know you guys don't fight in your marriages and stuff like that, but let's take myself for a, when we have a passionate disagreement, okay, then, you know, the atmosphere is loaded with emotion, everything is loaded in emotion, and all that you need is one person, one couple in any situation, one person that will not respond to the situation, but will look to the Lord and say, Lord, I'm going to respond from who You say. I'm going to respond in love and humility in this situation, and He defuses the situation. Why does that happen? Because the kingdom has just entered your marriage. The kingdom has just entered your passionate disagreement. If that makes sense. Okay. Don't worry, I won't ask who had a fight on their way to church this morning. May we bless you. We always joke and say that's why we were in church in Paul, and we planted a church in Wellington. It's like 10 minutes away, and we always joked and said those 10 minutes are just just long enough to pick a fight in the car before church. So we planted in Wellington. So I'm not seeking the kingdom. I'm not advancing the kingdom just for myself, but I'm doing it for Jesus because I love Him, because I'm sold out to Him. Because I put on my surrendered t-shirt for you guys, because I'm surrendered to Him. Amen. None of us wants to live lives that's mediocre in the end of the day, but we want to live lives that has a kingdom impact and eternity, and impacts eternity, and impacts the people. Now, I think there's some misconceptions about God's will that I want to just quickly address. The one is that it is hard to figure out. It is not. It is not hard to figure out what God's will is. And I will tell you about that in a moment, okay? The other misconception that people have is that God's will is fully and suddenly revealed. And it's never fully and suddenly revealed. You've come to know that. You don't get the big picture. It's like Jesus, He gives a step, He gives something, and we must take that, be faithful with that, give a step, and then He gives more. Amen? The Lord, and He does that to keep us always at a place of trusting Him. There will always be, in your faith, if you are seeking all the answers, I'm going to encourage you to stop. There will always be, you'll always find something and know something about the Lord, but there will always be a sense of mysteries. There will always be stuff you don't know, stuff you don't understand. Why does God do that? He does that so that we can actually grow in trusting Him. It is when we know fully that we don't have to trust Him. Amen? But it is in not understanding everything and not knowing and just going to Scripture and what He has already revealed and say, Lord, I'm going to stand on this. I've made a decision. I'm going to stand on this. That we get through life. Otherwise, if we always go to the, if we always go to doubt and the whys, you know, some of us, we need to stop carrying the why and lean on the Lord in trusting. You know, we lost a guy in our church a while back that passed away. He's 37, three small children. He's actually my neighbor, and what's a beroerte in Engels? Stroke. He had a stroke, and he passed away. Do we understand the wise? No, we don't. Does that change who the Lord is? No, it doesn't. Not in one sense. It doesn't change who He is. That is the power of praise. In the moments when you don't understand, you don't turn to the Lord, but why this, why that, why aren't you here, you turn to praise. That's what the believer does. Because he believes. And he trusts, not in an answer given, but to a person. You're not going to understand everything, okay? And we need to make a peace in that. In the kingdom, we're not going to understand everything, okay? But the Lord in His will, I'm going to call it a standard will and a specific will. These two. The standard will of God is what the Lord has already revealed to you in Scripture. Okay? What is written down is His standard will. A lot of it, His will has already been revealed in Scripture. His specific will has to do more about the smaller things in your life, like who you should marry, or where you should work, or where He's calling you to, or what gifts has He planted in you, or what is your contribution. But we've got a very good tendency in church to make it about the specifics without being a good steward of what has already been revealed. Does that make sense? Okay. We want the specifics, but we don't always want the what has already been revealed in this book about us. Now, the specifics, they are important, but we can't elevate them above what He has already revealed. Okay. And we don't base our faith on the specifics. We base it on the word of the Lord. Does that make sense? Okay? Like somewhere in our lives, we must get to the point where we make a choice if we believe the Lord is good or not. Sometimes we need to make a choice. If you're gonna let every circumstance dictate if God is good and almighty and all powerful, then you're gonna go like this. The enemy will play you like a puppet. But the Lord is looking for a people that will actually start believing what He has written down and what He has says. Somewhere we must get solid ground under our feet and say, God, I don't care what happens to me or around me, I believe that You are good. I believe in Your kingdom and that Your kingdom is one of righteousness, joy, and peace. You know, many Christians go into church and we pray this prayer, oh Lord, be with me. Who of you know that that is not a good prayer to pray? Because Jesus has already said that He's with you. I like the prayer that says, Jesus, thank You that You are with me, and then I go and live outside like He is with me. Not in doubt all the time, is Jesus with me? Is Jesus with me? Do you get what I'm saying? Okay? The kingdom mindset, the way of the kingdom. We're not scared for the mountains. We're not scared for the difficult stuff in our lives. Why? Because we know who is with us. The King is with us and the kingdom is with us. I think that's the only way that a shadow can heal somebody. The authority of the kingdom resides inside of you. And you are not willing to be shaken or turned just by circumstances. And I really sense this morning is some of us that need to see our mountains tremble. We look at them and we moan about them constantly, but we need to see them tremble. Amen? Who of you know if you feel down and you go into prayer and you after prayer you come out and you're still down, you didn't pray, you were just complaining. Did you get that? Okay? Like, we cannot meet Christ, come into His presence and not change. Like when we come into His presence, when we come into the presence of the King and we surrender, we bow down, the wise and the what I know and what I don't know, then the kingdom comes and it resides in us. The posture of the kingdom is humility. When you embrace humility, you position yourself for the Lord imparting grace into your life. Grace for that mountain that is before you. And you know, some of them you will see fall into the seas, and some of them you will have to navigate. But praise Jesus, we receive the guide. His name is Holy Spirit, our counselor, the guy that the God that goes before us and leads us, and He leads us into all truth. Does that make sense? So It's good to seek the specifics, but don't seek the specifics over the already revealed word of the Lord. Does that make sense? And I was just confronted by this the other day. And it's like, what is the Lord, what is he calling me to? Stuff like prayer. You know, these days I hear people that say they're not called to prayer. I'm like, I don't know, where do you read that? I'm not an intercessor. If I read the Bible, I see everybody is called to pray. Can I get one amen at least? Everybody is called to pray. Everybody is called to share the good news of Jesus Christ. Everybody. Everybody in this house is called to serve. This is the beauty of the kingdom. If you want to, listen, if you want to sort out your issues, can I give you a tip? Go and do something for somebody else. The Lord has a way of sorting out your issues when you do something for somebody else. Who of you have experienced that? There's a proverb that says, we live by that in our church. Like, Jesus said it's more blessed to give than to receive. And in Proverbs, it is written that he who waters will be watered himself. Who of you ever went on outreach and you think, just I'm gonna go and bless these oaks, and then you just come back, like, you get there and you're like, Jesus, I don't have nothing to give these people. And then you come back and say, yeah, I thought I'm going to go there and bless them, and then they blessed me. Such a way, okay? So that's a good word for some of you. Do something for somebody else, right? Is this making sense? Okay, so the Lord is calling us to seek. He's calling us to ask him, Lord, may your kingdom come and may your will be done on this earth. He has taught us to pray this and to ask this of him. And what he's essentially asking, what we ask when we ask, Lord, may your kingdom come and may your will be done, is, Lord, may your kingdom move towards this earth. Lord, may your kingdom move towards this house. May it happen to this house. Amen. May your will be done. May it come into existence here. And I want to say to you, God's eyes are looking over this earth, and he's looking for men and women that will believe that he is here. Who of you would love him when the kingdom is in its full manifestation in this house? Wouldn't that change Windhoek? It will change you. Amen? And I want to say to you, I love the King James Version. It says that may your kingdom come and may your will be done. It doesn't say on the earth, but it says in the earth. And it's almost the sense that, who of you know that we are dirt, made of dirt, right? It's like that helps us to keep humble. May it happen in the earth. The kingdom must first come in you before it can come through you. Does that make sense? Lord, may your kingdom come in me. May your rulership come in me. That's why it says in Romans 12, I must give my body as a living sacrifice, right? And then by the renewing of my mind needs to be renewed. Why? Because the kingdom is here. And through that renewal, I am being transformed from one degree of glory to another. Isn't that amazing? We are called to witness about this Jesus. We are called to bring his kingdom, his rulership, and his way to this earth. There's a way of the kingdom. And I'm telling you now, the people in Windhoek, and we see it in our town, they are fed up. They recognize truth when they see truth, right? And we all know, you know, religious activity, but we also know activity where the substance is the Lord, where the substance is the Holy Spirit. Amen? It is different. It is different. He is there, and he touches, and all he needs is conduits to be there, and to ask, Lord, may your kingdom come. Stretch out your hand with signs, miracles, and wonders. And this means, and this call of this is sometimes for us to step into mystery, to step into the unknown, to do stuff that we've never done before, to pray for somebody that's sick. There's something for all of us. If you want to know God's will, go and, you know, get somebody who's sick and pray for them. Jesus said we must go and pray for the sick. No? We don't have to wait for a word from the Lord to go and do that. We don't have to wait for a word from the Lord to make disciples. We don't have to wait for the word of the Lord to pray for people that died. And I don't know about you, but these things, they scare me many times, you know. Remember when Wayne was in the ICU, and you go in there, you know, now we've got to pray. And, and it feels so close. You know, I look to his eyes and I just feel like he's going to get up in a moment. And it didn't happen. At least I know he's with Jesus, which is much better. But it's a verantwoordelijkheid, responsibility to pray for my brother, right? I have a responsibility, like Jesus asked it. I like what Daniel Kalina also says, that miracles is the easiest part of his job because he doesn't do them. It's not you that's going to heal the person, it's Jesus, okay? Isn't that a good word for us to get over ourselves and go to people and just bless them in Jesus' name? Just ask, Lord, heal this person, touch this person, and you see what happens. Yes, but I did it once before and it didn't work. Well, go try it again. Like, that is a classical example of us having our faith in our circumstances. And building theology on what does not happen instead of building it on what God says. Does that make sense? Okay. I want to end off with just something that that while we were sitting here this morning and the band were practicing and I was praying a little bit and just sensed that the Lord said the following over this house and over you, because we're going back to Wellington this afternoon, and you guys are remaining here. And I just sense that the Lord is saying over this house that this house is going to be a well for many people. That it's going to be a well of living water that you are going to carry out to other people. And he's wanting you to understand his way of doing, his way of thinking. He wants to reveal that to you. And I don't want to give you the 5 points of the revealed will of God, because he's calling you to go and seek it out in this, what he says, right? But I believe this house is going to be a well of living water. I believe that many words have been spoken over this house that to a certain extent, that the words have embittered the water that is in the well. But I sense that the Lord is saying he's breaking off those words and he's going to replace them with his word. But he wants to meet you at the well. Each one of you wants to meet you at the well. And he wants you to be almost like that woman going out and going to tell the people about a man that told you everything about yourself. A man that knows everything. And that is Christ. Not trying to build a church, not trying to be perfect, but be with Jesus. Amen. That you will be a people that when you go away, that people will say about you that they were with Jesus Christ. Isn't that the biggest compliment that we can receive? That we've been with him and people recognize him on us and not us. Okay? It humbles me every time. I have no theological training, nothing. It was a fisboer. All I have is a call of the Lord. That's all I have. I have his word that he spoke to me. That's all I have, and that's all I need. And I cannot run away, because I know if I run away, there's a big fish around the corner waiting for me. And I don't want to go through that, so I'm not that stupid. But that people say that we were with Jesus. Forget about how you look, and if you're good in this or that, who cares? Have you been with him, with the King? He is better at this than we are. He's way better at this. He's way better. Relax in him, rest in him, and let his kingdom overwhelm you. So I'm just sensing that the Lord is saying bitter water is turning into sweet water and fresh water, and that the Lord will remove all the words spoken about this well, and he will speak a new word, a living word, that will turn brackish water into sweet, living water. And he's asking anyone to say, whoever wants to come and drink. He says in John 7, whoever comes to me, out of his innermost being, right, streams of living waters will start flowing. And I want to encourage this house in this. Keep first things first. Tozer writes, I love it. He says, wherever Jesus is glorified, the Spirit comes. Wherever Jesus is glorified, the Spirit comes. This is how you receive the Holy Spirit. You allow the glorification of Jesus Christ in your life. The Spirit will come. He will come. He will help you. You don't have to beg Him. He comes. He's looking for the glorification of Jesus Christ. And when He sees it, He comes. He's standing ready over your chaos and over your chaotic life. Who of you know He formed out of chaos? He's not scared of your chaos. He hovered over chaos until the Word was spoken and He formed. The most beautiful planet in the universe with the most beautiful people made in His likeness on this earth. He's not scared of your chaos. He hovers over it and the Word comes and He forms. But keep first things first. When we see in Acts 2 where the Holy Spirit is poured out, right? The people ask Peter, what is this? What is going on? And what does he do? He starts preaching Christ. He says, what you are seeing is because of the glorification of Jesus Christ. And from that point on, it was everything in Acts happened for the glorification of Jesus. It was in the name of Jesus that people walked, they talked, they lived in the name of Jesus. They glorified Jesus, the King and His kingdom in their lives, and the Spirit came. The Spirit came. He's looking for a people to invade and to witness about Jesus. That is why power comes to us. That is why words of knowledge and the gifts of the Spirit, it comes to us. Why? To witness not about ourselves getting it right or wrong, but to witness about who He is. I want to encourage this house, keep first things first. Keep first things first, and the Spirit will come. Ultimately, He is that living water that you will be carrying out of this place. Amen? I think I should stop now. I don't know where you guys are, but I know one thing, to be filled with Him is not a one-time event. It's a continual, and I need it every day. Who of you know the grace that you received the day you gave your life to Jesus is the same grace that you need today to live it out? We said yesterday, we live in a culture in Wellington where people just want to meet Jesus so they don't go to hell. You know, you get to the gates and like, smoke is coming out of your beyond because you just missed it. You are not called to just make it. You're not called to just make it. You are called to get there. Jesus waiting, standing, receiving you. A cloud of witnesses receiving you. Those who passed away in Christ to see them again. Isn't that the hope that we have? So I want to encourage this house, live for something more than yourself. Live for the King and His kingdom. May His kingdom invade you. May His will be manifest in you and through you. I just want to pray a prayer over us and then we're going to end off. So if you are hungry for this, will you stand with me? And we're just going to ask the Lord to come and just to come and fill us, to come and solidify His word, Him, His kingdom in us, in our hearts, in our minds. And then we're going to trust Him and He's going to do something in your life. And you know, today might be a shift, but I really believe it will play itself out over the next few years even. You know, many times we want results here and now. I think the results of this day will only be seen 10 years from now. For those who faithfully went with Him and stick to Him. Made a few decisions to say, I'll never turn back, Jesus. Almost like the disciples when Jesus, you know, Jesus had this way of of testing them and saying, you know, eat my blood, or eat my flesh and drink my blood. And then He spends zero time explaining what He means, right? Zero time. Left them wondering and many walked away. And Jesus says to His disciples, so are you also going to walk away? And they answered Him and said, Lord, where should we go? Where should we go? Sold out for Jesus. They have nowhere else to go. They say to Him, Jesus, you have the word of life. I don't know what it is, but you have the word of life. I cannot walk away. I cannot just move from here. We cannot walk away from you. that I will stick with you no matter what happens in my life. I want to see your kingdom come in me and it come through me. Jesus, so we want to thank you. You are the King. Lord, we just thank you, Lord, that there's no other name by which a man or a woman can be saved but by the name of Jesus Christ, Lord. You are our healer, our savior, our deliverer, but above all, Lord, you are our Lord, our King, where we bow to and we give up our will. And Father, I want to thank you for every calling in this room, Lord, and that there is many. Father, I thank you that even some of the callings in this room has grown cold, Lord, and only embers remain of what you have spoken. Lord, and I pray, Holy Spirit, that you will blow your refreshing wind again over the embers, Lord, to enlighten it, to set a fire again in the hearts of the men and the women in this room, Lord, ready to carry out the fresh water that you are giving, Lord God. So, Lord, we thank you that we can speak over this house, that this is a house of fresh living water. Lord, we pray, may your kingdom come and may your will be done in this house. Thank you, Lord. Father, thank you that we don't even carry the name of Shofar, but we carry the name of Jesus. Father, thank you that we don't even have Shofar DNA, but we've got Jesus DNA. Thank you for what you are shaping and what you're going to shape. So Lord, I want to ask Holy Spirit that you will come upon every hungry heart in this room, Lord, that wants to know the way of the kingdom. Lord, I pray that you will cause a hunger in the hearts, Lord, to seek your kingdom, to seek it out, to see your will be done on this earth, Lord. Father, I pray for a renewal of vision. I want to pray for eyes to see again, God. For minds to remember words spoken over them. And I pray, Lord, for every prophetic word that has been given in this house, to this house and personally, to people, that we will wage war by the prophecies given, because we know where we are called to, because you go before us, God. So Lord, it's our privilege today to just come and lay down our lives and our names, our will, our own desires, Lord, and say, Jesus, we give that as an offering. And we are here, Lord, will you come and fill us? Will you come and refresh us? Will you come and show us and teach us the way of the kingdom, Lord? Will you come and give us a kingdom vision, Lord? In Jesus' name. And Father, we do not want to have a 10-point plan, Jesus. We want you. You are our teacher. Holy Spirit, you are the one that will teach us and guide us in all truth. Lead us to freedom, God, and I pray that it will be so. Father, I pray for every word that people have spoken over themselves, saying, I cannot hear the voice of God. Lord, thank you that the scriptures say that your sheep hear your voice. And we want to replace that embittering of the water with the truth that Jesus says you can hear his voice. In Jesus' name. Father, every thought, every word spoken that over us that says, I will never get free, this will never change, this mountain will not be moved. Lord, I thank you that we only need a mustard seed. Thank you for just a mustard seed, Lord. So we want to bless your name, Jesus. And I want to ask, Holy Spirit, that you will come and do a deep stirring in the hearts. Yeah. Jesus, we glorify you and thank you that as we glorify you, your Spirit comes. Holy Spirit, that you come. And we pray this in Jesus' name. And everybody said,
thank you for listening. Remember that our sermon audio and videos are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.